one weird airfare trick, a transfer bonus, and the five best credit cards to put in your spouse's wallet on today's Malinomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Malinomics Squared podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Malinomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like the following. News item number one comes to us from God Save the Points. It's a crazy way to buy Italian-issued airplane tickets and have some benefits of them in terms of being able to lop off certain segments of the trip without blowing up the entire ticket. So the utility of this is tricky, and the mechanics of it are tricky, but it's really innovative. So we have a link here to the post. I encourage you to take a look at it. It's not for the faint of heart. This is definitely in the family of classic travel hacking. But you know, we admire the approach. And, you know, in general, I think it is a bit ridiculous that if you, if you miss the first leg of your journey, that you lose the entire ticket. But this is, somewhat trying to exploit that, for example, by booking the first leg of something that makes the entire trip a lot cheaper and then just taking the portion of it that you want. So there's been a long debate about whether, you know, it's ethical to book a portion of a trip that you're not going to take, hidden city ticketing, skip lagging, all that kind of stuff. So have a look at that post if you are in the market for this type of dabbling. It's very creative and interesting stuff, and you might even get tangled up in Italian law.
All right, Robert. So I'll take this next one here, and it's that there is a transfer bonus right now, a city thank you point transfer bonus to Virgin Atlantic of 30%. So a 30% transfer bonus to Virgin Atlantic for all thank you point transfers. This goes hand in hand with the 30% bonus that's on membership rewards. These miles are a great mile to use in certain situations and an awful mile to use in certain situations. Knowing the difference is very important. We go a little bit more into that on the full version of the podcast. We really have a thin news week, so we've got a good topic here this week instead. Robert, you want to get into this?
Yes, the topic of the week is the five best credit cards to put in your spouse's wallet. Are you ready? We're going to take this. I'm going to say one, you say one, and we're going to round out this discussion with some thoughts on, in general, how to do this. So I think the premise of this is that, A, you have a spouse, and B, the spouse is not enthusiastic about maximizing credit card rewards, and they can have maybe a credit card or two in their wallet, maybe an Amex and a Visa or something like that, and you don't want to encumber them with a lot of complexity, but they do put some spend on their card, so you might be interested in optimizing it. Before we get started here, I think one thing I want to get out is that this might not really matter at all. I mean, at some point in time, I've considered just putting like vanity credit cards in my wife's wallet, like, you know, a nice looking Amex Platinum and a Ritz-Carlton Visa or something like that, just because when I say it doesn't matter, the actual day-to-day spend that you put on a credit card, I don't think is moving the needle on how many rewards you're earning, right? The actual spend, it's a small rebate that you get here. So I say that as a way to say you should never scold your spouse or be upset that that she's used the wrong card to purchase gas or something like that. Like, it's just not worth the fight. Definitely not worth the fight. It's because it's really not moving the needle at all. You are the same mindset on this?
I am. It's not worth it. And also, I mean, there's a case to be made. If you're playing very aggressively, then you might be maxing out your category bonus already. And so then there really is no benefit to putting something like a Chase Freedom 5X and writing on a sticky note what the category is for the quarter. And, you know, and then, oh, you didn't use that. You used the wrong. If you're already going to max those out through other methods and you're very aggressive, then there's no net benefit to that anyway. And so you're getting upset about, you know, fungible assets, basically. So I think that's a great preface here. Points and miles are fun, but being married and happily married is way more fun. So, or being, you know, happily together, because, you know, all kinds of different, you know, unions and partnerships and whatnot can take advantage of this discussion today, not just marriage. So That said, let's get into it. I know there's probably going to be a lot of overlap, but when there isn't, I think we'll have some interesting discussion. Robert, you want to start with your first pick, number one.
All right, my first number one pick is the Amex Personal Gold card. It earns 4X membership rewards on grocery and dining, and my wife tends to do the grocery shopping in the family, so I like to have a card that rewards that. She occasionally goes out to eat, not that much, but occasionally goes out to eat. I think this is a really good card. I like the $25,000 each year that you get in 4X spend at grocery stores. Overall, a fantastic card, and I do think it is a keeper, all things considered, beyond the first year. I really like Amex's redesign of that. Some people might not like the annual fee, might not be able to justify it, but I can. I think this is a really solid card and a keeper. So that's my number one card, the Amex Personal Gold.
My number one card is totally different. It's a Citi Double Cash, and it couldn't be more opposite. My point being that Amex Gold is one of those cards where I think I'll naturally max out the $25,000 myself, you know, and then the grocery spend or won't get any real bonus. So I like the Citi Double Cash because it's pretty much painless. It's just, you just use it wherever. It's going to be accepted everywhere, unlike an American Express card. And it has a price protection feature, which I have used a few times in the past when I've noticed, hey, maybe I could have purchased that item for a little bit less than you did. It helps remove some of that friction, I think, in purchases maybe. And I feel confident that if my wife doesn't maximize, forgets what category, what doesn't make it, doesn't remember what card to use, this, she's doing just fine with it.
Excellent. Solid, solid pick. I like that one. That was not on my list. I do like that, although I don't like it enough to have it in my portfolio. So great pick and consistent with your continued support of that card. All right, my next pick.
I was going to put the Fidelity card, but I didn't want to do that to you, Robert.
Yeah, so. That would have been too obvious. You're trying to get under my skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, card number two for me, the CNB Crystal Infinite 3X on groceries, dining, travel, gas. This thing accidentally gets more bonus spend than any card you can think of. I think it's a fantastic card. It's a keeper. Additionally, we've talked about it on the show a lot. It's just a fantastic card. I think I put that one in my wife's wallet. I actually did. I think I actually followed through with this recently. I think it's what gave way to the discussion. So I think she has an Amex Personal Gold and a CNB Crystal Infinite card. And like I said, both of those are high fee cards, but they are keepers in my book. So those could stay in her wallet for a really long time. I might not have to bother her about her credit cards for quite some time.
Oh, wouldn't that be a bonus, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like, what? Yeah, unheard of.
Which one should I use? Either one. I don't care.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's a great card. You know, I think that it has that premium feel as well, which
a little vanity
there,
important. Yeah.
You know, a little bit of vanity is fine, but it's vanity with so many categories that you can't go wrong. You're out to lunch. Yeah, you want to use that card at lunch? Just throw it down and, you know, everybody can ask you about it. I don't know about it. Whatever. You're at the grocery store and you find yourself there, but you're usually not. Yeah, whatever, you know. You know, I think that our spouses are going to gravitate towards the card that they like the most for whatever reason. And so putting cards that are consistently good in all ways is important here. I don't want a card that's going to be a 1X situation somewhere. And this card is checks off a lot of boxes. I mean, when I check my statement on this CMB card every month, I'm like, how did I earn 2,800 points this month when I put almost nothing on the card? You know, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. That's all 3X. It's it's amazing card. I hope it lasts forever. And it's about putting good cards in there. And this one's in my wife's wallet as well. So I think we're in agreement on that one. Yeah, maybe we have another agreement here, right, Robert?
Yeah, you take the next one.
All right, I'm going with the Blue Business Plus. I've got a post up on this and why it is a great card. It's a great card for many reasons, and the least of them, actually, I think, is that it earns 2X membership rewards everywhere. And when you pair that with a cash-out situation at 1.25 cents per membership reward, you're looking at a 2.5% rebate on everything you purchase, which is extremely close to the highest you could get. And when you factor in an annual fee, I want to say it is pretty much going to be the best card you can put your average non-bonus spend on. So, Robert, do you have the same card in your list?
I do have that card at number three on my list. I don't have it yet, though, and that's just due to number of slots and timing of things with Amex. Other sign-up bonuses have been higher priority historically, but I do like that card as well. I hope to get it someday. I think I really like the Amex Business Platinum 1.5 cents per point of value that you get when redeeming for flights with their quirky 35% rebate, but that effectively makes it a 3x everywhere card in my book. Yeah. So I am a big fan of redeeming membership rewards that way to realize a good value out of them and not have to worry about award availability, especially domestically. So I think that is a really solid play. The only thing a little tricky on that one is that it's a business card, and I know not everybody's comfortable with that, and not everybody would be comfortable putting a business card in their wife's wallet. So that knocks it down a little bit in terms of, a little bit of a hurdle you need to get over there. But I think most people can get over that hurdle, and I think that's a very solid pick. All right, number four card is the Bank of America Premium Rewards card with Platinum Honors. Now, this card gets a very healthy sign-up bonus, 50,000 points, which are worth $500 in cash. Super easy cash out with this card. I don't even know why they call them points. It's just a cash scheme, right? But if you have Platinum Honors with Bank of America, by having $100,000 in assets with Merrill Edge is, I think, the best way to establish that level. You get 2.625% back everywhere. And that is one of the best cards out there. It does come up with an annual fee, I think, of $95, but there's a statement credit each year that comes that isn't too hard to earn that offsets that a bit. So, and a $100 TSA PreCheck global entry statement, which you probably have from other cards, but if you're looking for a really, one simple low fee card, I mean, 95 isn't that much with all the things we're talking about here. It's a really solid card, and that sign-up bonus doesn't hurt either. So it's good in the near term and the long term, I think. The Bank of America Premium Rewards.
Yeah, I have it here on the list too. It's probably the mirror image of that Blue Business Plus for me. I don't have the uplift, the 2.625, so it's a theoretical put it in my spouse's wallet for me, but you can't argue with that percentage. You can't argue with the points that you cover there. It is a great card, and it's great for us if we're more active as well. I guess here's where it gets tough. We've got four great cards. What's the fifth for you, Robert?
The fifth for me is the Chase Freedom Unlimited with 1.5x ultimate rewards everywhere. Now, when this card came out, I said, there's no way there's going to be a card that earns 1.5 ultimate rewards everywhere that's fee-free, because the United Mileage Plus Explorer card only gets one United. Why would they have a fee-free card that's getting 1.5x? Well, here we are. That's the way the card behaves. And I think if you like Ultimate Rewards, Hyatt Points, the ability to transfer to Southwest, to Hyatt United, all these great partners, it's a really nice way to go, because you have that floor of being able to cash out for 1.5 cents a piece, but then you also have the transferability upside. The Ultimate Rewards program is very useful. If you have the Chase Sapphire Reserve, you get 1.5 cents of uplift on top of this, so that gets you to what, 2.25? So just a lot of value if you still want to maintain that upside of being able to transfer to travel partners for a big, international premium cabin redemption. So maybe a card to consider if you are a big fan of Ultimate Rewards. That would be my number five.
I'm going to throw a curveball here at the end for number five on my list, Robert, and it's the card that you don't want to put in. It is to never put a card that you are working the minimum spend on in your spouse's wallet. Now, I have two reasons for this, and you tell me if you agree or not. The first reason is that it's just enticing you to overspend. I have seen this so many times with friends and family who say, I got this new card, I've got to spend $4,000 on it, so a new stereo is just the best way to do that. And it's like, were you going to buy a $4,000 stereo, or what was the plan there? It's like, no, I wasn't. But, it's just a little bit more. And so you dilute entirely, or maybe even just eliminate any of the bonus that you were going to get when you do something like that. So giving a card and saying, hey, we've got to spend a certain amount on this in the next 90 days, I feel like that's setting yourself up for an overspend situation. And then the second part of that is, what if you don't meet the minimum spend? What if, your spouse is frugal and says, I don't want to put anything that I don't want on this card. And at the end of 90 days, you've spent $1,800. Because what do? You get mad you didn't spend enough money? So for those two reasons, I like to handle all of the minimum spend myself. I feel like it's just too much. If you're not going to play the actual game, it's too enticing to fall into the traps that are set with the minimum spend. So I would say, do not put a card that you're working the minimum spend for your fifth card. That's my curveball, Robert. What do you think of that?
I think that is fantastic advice, and it is both one that I have fallen into on both fronts, both in terms of enticing overspend and being hard to tell if the minimum spend requirement has been met. So I think that is fantastic advice, and I will take that going forward. I will stop putting cards in there. I will never do that again. That is a great tip. One card I would like to throw in for an honorable mention, if you have it, all these cards that we've mentioned today are cards that you can still get, but if you happen to have one of these clanging around, I think the Citi AT&T Access More card that earns 3x for online retail, I just kind of put that by the home computer there, and if someone's going to make an online retail purchase, we can just grab that card and use it. So I put an honorable mention in for that one if you have it, and it comes with some juicy retention bonuses that takes it up to 5x thank you points. So I give that one special dispensation if you happen to have it. Thank you for joining us this week. For a more in-depth discussion about points and miles, visit us at patreon.com/milenomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about topics like these. This week's topic is our demand schedule for summer travel, so give that a look if you're thinking about what to do this summer.
And as always, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Milenomics, and Robert is at Robert Dwyer. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, we'll see you on the site.